Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Patan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Thira Banachari Jamuna Thira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana जमुना चीर पन छी जमुना चीर पन छी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी नमः ॐ विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चादे सथारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
I am very grateful to be with you this evening. Thank you, Hemangi Devi, for inviting me to be with you. Although I myself am a guest, I welcome everyone to this very holy place. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. This verse from the Vedic literatures tells wherever sincere people come together with pure intentions to uplift each other's consciousness, to come closer to God, to each other, to a natural spiritual life. Wherever there is such chanting and sharing of God's names, pastimes, and teachings, that place is a holy place. Many people are looking for truth, looking for various conceptions of God, or just looking for happiness, not knowing that it is truly within our own selves. If we cannot find it there, we can find it nowhere in a sustainable way. And yes, it is a holy place where the presence of the Supreme can be felt and can be realized when we come together for divine purpose of seva or service. This verse, which was spoken by Lord Krishna to Narada, a great sage, has been recited, remembered over thousands and thousands of years. Anandamayo Vyashat, because everyone is seeking pleasure. There are different ways people try to find happiness. Some try to find happiness through doing good for others. Some by exploiting others. Out of what the Vedic literatures declare to be 8,400,000 species of life that are around us, everyone has a particular way of being happy. Of the millions of people in Chicago, of the hundreds of millions of people in the United States, of the billions of people on this earth, of the countless other species, including animals and insects and reptiles and birds and fish, each and every person has a unique way they're trying to find happiness. And each and every living being is in a very unique challenge at their present moment trying to find that happiness. And sometimes we become so obsessed with trying to clear away the obstacles in the names of distress and potential fears and dangers, we forget that everyone else is in the same situation in their own way. So this great yogi, this great sage Narada, he gave in an incredibly dramatic setting a simple solution of how to be free from suffering and actually realize happiness. Should I tell you what he said, or should I give the dramatic narration first? Which one?
Yeah.
Amy, what do you say? Okay. I always like to do what you say. Kamagiri Devi, my dear God sister, very grateful you have come such a long distance to be with us. This story many people know, but it can never be told enough. It's from the fourth canto, or the fourth book of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's about a five-year-old child. His name is Dhruva. On what seemed to be just a very ordinary day, he came to meet with his father, to feel the assurance, the protection, the encouragement, the love of his father. Little children are very vulnerable in so many ways, physically, emotionally. And a loving father and mother is so important. His father, whose name was Uttanapada, happened to be a very powerful king. His father, Uttanapada, whose father was Swayambhu Manu, whose father was Brahma. So the king was sitting on the throne with his other son, whose name was Uttam. Uttam was sitting on his lap. He was enjoying his father's company. The father was enjoying Uttam's company. And Dhruva saw that and so much wanted that affection. So he came running to the throne and in his innocent, childlike enthusiasm. Just as he was climbing on his father's lap, something strange happened. His father did not welcome him. Then suddenly, his stepmother, she screamed out very loudly, in such a way that not only Dhruva, but his father heard him, her. She said, "You have no right to sit on the throne with your father because you were not born from my womb." Therefore, if ever you want such a pleasure of sitting on this throne, you must worship the Supreme Lord with great sincerity. And if you please him and get his mercy, then you could be born in your next life in my womb, and then only will you be able to sit in this throne. It is described by Maitreya Rishi, who's narrating this, that she spoke with deep envy and pride. She was proud that she was the favored queen. She was proud with her own beauty, with her own intelligence. And she was envious. Because you see, where there's false pride, envy comes naturally. She was envious of this little boy. See how they were seeing the same situation through completely different consciousness. He was so simple. He wasn't seeing anything political. He wasn't being competitive. He wasn't trying to prove anything. He just wanted to be with his father. It didn't really matter whether he was sitting on the throne or in a bathtub. He just wanted to be with his father. That's how he saw it. But it is said that the world is a mirror of our own state of consciousness. According to our happinesses, our successes, our tragedies, our insecurities, our failures, we see the whole world through the lens of our particular consciousness. And because every living being and every species has been through various situations in life, we all see the world through the lens of our own conditioned state. So what to a little boy is just an innocent coming to father, the stepmother is thinking, this is a great threat to her. And she's envious of this child. She doesn't want the risk that he could get the father's favor. Because in her eyes, that would minimize her. So in essence, she said, you have to worship God. And then you must die and take your next birth with me as your mother. Then only are you qualified. Little Dhruva's looking up, mortified, shocked. It was utterly unexpected. He looked to his father for shelter. His heart was broken. It was truly a trauma. And when he needed his father, the most he ever needed him in his life, his father turned away and ignored him. Dhruva began to breathe very heavy. He was filled with grief and anger. He didn't know how to process it. He ran through the palace floor, ran through the hallways, and ran into his mother's room, whose name was Suniti. When his mother saw him, she didn't know what to think. Dhruva was weeping incessantly and crying grievously. His lips were trembling in anger. Suniti didn't know how to deal with this. Some of the other people from the palace explained everything that happened to her. She cried. It is described she was a very beautiful lady. Her face was like a lotus flower. But it dried up. In that situation, the torment of her son was like a massive forest fire that withered her away. She didn't know what the remedy for such a problem was. She was thinking so many things. How can I help my child? She was confused. She was lost. Then finally, she spoke. She spoke from her heart. Please hear what she said. These simple words from a mother became a foundation of one of the greatest spiritual histories throughout the ages. She said to little Dhruva, do not ever wish anything inauspicious for anyone. Because if you inflict pain on another, you will have to suffer for that pain. Actually, what your stepmother Suruchi said is true. Your father loves her and has all but forgotten me. It seems like he's ashamed of me. Dhruva, you have been born to a very unfortunate lady. But don't be so concerned with her harshness, the harshness of her words. The content of what she said is true. If you take shelter of the Supreme Lord, Narayan, or Krishna, the one God who has many names, if you sincerely take shelter with determination, then you will find relief, you will find meaning, you will find purpose, you will find shelter and happiness. Your great-grandfather Brahma, when he took shelter of the Lord, he was given the power to create universe. And Swayambhuva Manu, he had all the happy things of this world and beyond. The Supreme Lord is merciful and kind to everyone. But only when we turn with sincerity can we access his love and understand it. Great sages, yogis, saints, throughout history, they have gone to the forest to meditate with their hearts and soul on reconnecting with the divine. She was trying to give hope and shelter to her son. Dhruva sincerely deliberated what he heard. Then he made a decision that was a complete shock to his mother, his father, and the whole kingdom. Without saying anything to anyone, he left home to enter into the forest for the purpose of finding God. By the time anyone found out, he was long gone. Nobody could find him. Because in those days, forests were really forests. Today, if you go to the various suburbs of Chicago, there's little forest reserves. And if you're lucky, you might see a rabbit run by. Or you'll see some squirrels looking for acorns. Or maybe a deer will run by. Or if it's really an exciting day, a skunk may ride by. But you know, if a skunk comes, you just kind of go into your car and drive away. It's not so. But those were the days for us. They were so dark. So many trees, ancient trees. There were places where the sun could not touch the ground. It was dark throughout the day and night. In those forests, there were multitudes of wild tigers, leopards, wild elephants. Some of those forests, rhinoceros. there was many snakes, cobras, vipers, crates. Mosquitoes. And he's a five-year-old child. And especially in that area, it was known for so many hungry wolves. He went deeper and deeper and deeper into the jungle. When his father, Uttanapada, heard what happened, he woke up to his illusion. Sometimes in this world, when we try to make somebody happy, we make somebody else unhappy. How many of you have ever had that experience? But it's important that we're grounded in our own hearts and our own values, so that we don't make such serious mistakes. Just to try to prove something to someone he was attached to, which is a very small thing, he completely crushed his own child's heart. It was unbelievable. He was drowning in an ocean of guilt. What did I do? How could I be so selfish? How could I be so foolish? How could I be so cruel to my own son? What kind of pain did I give my son that he left his home to live in the jungle with no one to protect him? There's no food. There's man-eating animals and wolves and snakes. He must be suffering. He may be dead. And it's all my fault. And his own mother, Sunita, she was again in a completely helpless state to do anything except pray. What else could she do? But prayers are very powerful. There's a saying that by the mercy of a guru, actually by the mercy of Krishna or God, one gets a guru. And when by the mercy of guru, one gets Krishna. So the Lord, who's in the heart of Dhruva, wanted to help him. Because after all, he took the ultimate risk to try to find the Supreme. So the Lord in the heart of Narada, who we are speaking of later, that great yogi, inspired him to be in that forest. There wasn't another human being anywhere within tens of miles. But there Narada Muni walked right up the little Dhruva. And Dhruva bowed down to him. And Narada Muni put his virtuous hand on Dhruva's head. Dhruva bowed down. Narada Muni said, "That you're only a child. I know what's happened to you. But at this age of 5, you're attached to playing and sports. You shouldn't take so serious an insult from somebody. Insults come. There's praise, there's blame. It's the nature of this world. But as a little child, you should not be so concerned with that. Because if we want to feel happiness, real happiness in this world, we have to go beyond the temporary circumstances. We have to find something deeper in our own lives. Sometimes there's pleasure, other times there's pain. Hankering, lamenting, success, failure, victory, defeat, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, health, disease, birth, death. The longer we live in this world, the more we suffer people we love who die. Something we just can't do anything about. It's just the nature of this world. Narada Muni said, we have to learn to find satisfaction and happiness within and give that happiness to others in whatever situation may come in our life. Because we can't control circumstances beyond a certain level. He said, without envy, you should worship the Supreme Lord with great determination. And then he spoke the verse that you've all been waiting for. The simple formula of how to be happy. Are you ready? Awake? It's very simple, but so profound. He said, the formula for peace and satisfaction, wherein we can transcend the miseries of this world, is whenever you meet someone more qualified than you, you should be very pleased. Very joyful, very honored to be in such a person's presence. Whenever you meet someone who has less qualifications in whatever way than yourself, you should feel compassion, a great need to lift them up, to help them to become happy, to help them to become better. Paradukaduki, that another person's happiness is my happiness. Another person's suffering is my suffering. I have to do whatever I can within my little powers to uplift them. And whenever you meet someone who's more or less equal to you, you should make friends with them. Now, the tendency in this world is somebody's more qualified, we either become envious of them because we just can't tolerate being second under someone else. Someone else is getting more recognition, or somebody else has more material assets, or somebody else is winning the game. Years ago, not so many years, a few years ago, I was at a conference, and the greatest manager of a baseball team, the New York Yankees, he said, I was there, he said he told his team, they were losing for so many years. The worst the team has ever been in history, they were losing. And he was hired to try to help them. And whenever they would lose a game, he said he would tell them, you shouldn't feel bad. You should feel happy for the other team. That sounds like a yogi. is like Bhagavad Gita. It's like the Bible. He said, when you lose a game, don't get discouraged. Don't get disappointed. Feel good that they're happy. But at the same time, learn your lessons and try and learn your lessons, become more wise, practice harder, and win the next one. And through that type of advice, it became the most winning team in their history. So it is true. When we see someone having something we don't have, our tendency is we could become envious of them. Or we become depressed. Because I want to be like that. But what's the use of being depressed? It doesn't help us. It doesn't help anybody else either. But it's become one of the most common challenges in the human society throughout the world. Depression. Because we're just not good enough. Then we start feeling ourselves useless. Or else we feel we're so good, but we're not being recognized for it. It's depression. In truth, Krishna tells in Gita, Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashashtanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. Every living being is a part of God. Each one of us is totally unique and special. When we understand our own divine nature, we don't have to prove ourselves to anyone. We don't even have to prove ourselves to ourselves. Yes. We don't have to be mean or cruel to try to prove our points. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, true intelligence is to find our happiness within, our pleasure within, our enlightenment within. And through our spiritual practice, through the people we're with, through the values we live by, that's where we find and reconnect. Yoga means to reconnect with that experience of who we truly are. Each one of us is infinitely, eternally wonderful because we're part of God. And nothing could take that away. No one could take that away. Even with the passing of time or old age and death, it cannot disturb the truth. But in this world, we're always in such a competitive state, trying to find from external circumstances a sense of importance. All we need is to be honest, to live with character, and to understand ourselves. In giving, we receive. If we see someone succeeding, if we see someone doing well in any way, when we feel happiness for them, that is a joy of the heart. And when we see people who are less fortunate according to our calculations, whether it be economically or educationally or physically, the beauty that they may have, or their assets, or their skills, or their popularity. When we see that we have more than someone, the tendency is to be arrogant, condescending, proud. But that arrogance is like a fire within our heart that burns away any hope of true happiness. When we see that situation, happiness is to feel compassionate, to want to help them. Sunita, the mother of Dhruva, there was nothing she could do to help her child politically or economically. He was heartbroken totally to the extent that he left home to risk his life in an impossible situation because he had no other hope in his life. She prayed. She was a well-wisher. We could all do that, even in the most difficult times, because she had compassion in her heart. And when we're with equals, Narada Muni told little Dhruva, become friends. Sometimes friends are very competitive. And so many times, such a friendship doesn't last very long. What does it mean to be a friend? It means to truly be a well-wisher. A friend in need is a friend indeed. We're there for each other. Friendship is about both giving and taking. Friendship, the greatest emphasis of the natural heart is what can I do to help? That's friendship. And whatever we receive so that we can serve. After Narada Muni gave these instructions, little Dhruva, he said, he was looking up, his little tiny boy in a dark forest, and he's looking up at this great sage who was holding a veena, a classical instrument of music. Little Dhruva said, whatever you have told me is good for great yogis and sages and rishis like you. He said, actually, whatever you're saying is completely true and I accept it. But not a single word you spoke could touch my heart. Because my heart has been deeply wounded by the razor sharp arrows of my stepmother's harsh words. And I could find no relief in any of your words. I need to find the shelter of God. Narada smiled. He was testing him. Whatever Narada said was true. The formula is true. But how do we become like that? How do we actually become what we were just discussing? Each of us has our path. Narada told Dhruva, you should go to the river Yamuna. The Yamuna river is very holy with pure waters. She flows in a sacred forest named Madhuban, which is one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan, where later Krishna would appear in this world and perform his pastimes. He said, there, You should do just what your mother told you to do. Your mother told you that you should fix your mind in your own heart in remembering Narayan, the Supreme Lord. And with your mind absorbed in that way, you should serve. You should serve the Lord in all things. When you're in Madhuban, live a simple life. Perform Ashtanga Yoga. Then sit in a quiet place and meditate upon the beautiful form of the Lord who's within your own heart. And Narada Muni gave a beautiful description of how Dhruva should meditate on the beauty, the kindness, the love of God that's within him. He said, you could make a little altar out of clay from the river and offer the fruits and the flowers and the berries that you may find. Offer them with devotion. And all the while, in your meditation, chant this mantra. Man means the mind, trayate means to deliver. Mantra is a sound vibration that delivers our mind from all the anxieties and dualities of this ever-changing world. It reconnects us with the permanent essence of the Atma, the soul, and of God. There are various mantras. He gave this particular mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone, please chant together.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Much louder, please.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Little Dhruva went to the forest. Narada Muni told him, just do what your mother said. I'm here to tell you how to do that. She's truly your well-wisher. All alone, Dhruva made a little altar, made a little deity of Narayan. We'd offer berries and fruits and leaves and tulsi leaves. He would do yoga practices, perform breathing exercises, and then he would meditate. Meditate on this mantra. Meditate on the form of the Lord in his heart. And express his gratitude, express whatever he was making in his yoga connections through seva, through service, in whatever we're doing. Dhruva was a little yogi in the forest, but the supplies, if we are software engineers, or farmers, or in business, or finance, or an industry, for mothers or fathers or teachers, educators, entertainers, musicians, whatever we may be, to put that time aside every day to meditate on the Lord within our hearts, and then to serve in such a way that will please the Lord within our hearts. That's the universal process that Narada Muni taught. But Dhruva was so sincere. He was so determined Because he wanted to connect with Purusha, with the Supreme, with Krishna. The first month, he just ate some fruits and berries from the trees once every 3 days. The second month, he just ate some dry grass and leaves every 6 days. The next month, he just drank a little water from the river every 9 days. The next month, he just breathed every 12 days. Now, this may sound impossible for you, but 100 years ago, people thought if you were to tell them about a cell phone, they would say it's impossible. Yes? Now it's impossible to not have a cell phone. But 100 years ago, the concept of such a thing was impossible. To speak of airplanes. Flying is for the birds. Humans can't fly. So you see, things change. So from the yogic perspective, you know, there are yogis who could do these things. That's not the perfection of life. It's just certain powers and skills that people can attain. And little Dhruva, he had such determination, such sincerity. And in the next month, he was so, because of his sincerity, he was standing on one leg without breathing, totally immersed in a state that's called samadhi. He wasn't just imagining God within his heart. Narayan, a name of the Supreme, revealed himself within Dhruva's heart. Dhruva was seeing him. The infinite beauty of the Absolute Truth, who's the source of all beauty, the source of all love. He was having personal presence. Through his love, he was surrendering his body, his mind, his words, his very soul, his life. What an incredible experience. Then suddenly, that vision disappeared. Little Dhruva was so disturbed. Not exactly disturbed, just disoriented. He was seeing the source of everything beautiful in all of creation and limitlessly beyond. And now it's just a blank. So little Dhruva opened his eyes. He saw the same form of Sri Narayan, Krishna, standing in front of him. He's still now only about 5.5 years old. He never went to much school. He bowed down. He didn't know what else to do. He was so the greatest of all great. A little boy, can you imagine his experience? You know, if some little 5-year-old boy in Chicago, or if standing before a famous athlete or a famous movie star, would probably, but God, Narayan. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that that one Supreme Person is the source of everything that exists. Sarvakarana Karanam.
The source of all beauty, the source of all skill, the source of all knowledge, the source of all wealth, the source of all fame. Everything everyone wants to be attractive, whatever we see in this world, it's just an infinitesimal little particle of the gift of God's grace. What to speak of being with God? This is Dhruva's experience. And his eyes are open. He wanted so much to say something. Because what are you supposed to do? You say something. You offer your gratitude. You offer some prayer. Whatever. But he was speechless. Narayan was holding a conch shell in his hand and he touched Dhruva's head on it. And with that touch in his, he empowered Dhruva with such incredible poetic eloquence and profound realizations. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Dhruva are there. He spoke to the Lord in such a way that even ages and ages later, to this day and everything in between, there are millions of people getting inspired by his words. After giving a wonderful appreciation, glorification of Narayan, of Krishna, he explained how ashamed he was. Because you see, when Narada gave him all those instructions, Dhruva said, "You want me to just be detached from everything? I want to be the king. I want a kingdom greater than my father, greater than my grandfather, greater than my great-grandfather, greater than anybody that's ever been." And that was actually his motivation for doing everything he did. But through the process, Om Apavitra Pavitrova, through the process of Bhakti Yoga, although he was doing it for material prosperity and power, he became completely purified of all those things. And he was actually ashamed. He said, "My Lord, I was coming to you for all these materialistic things. I don't want them." Narayan said, "I will give you any benediction you like. Everything that you wanted, I've come to give you." Little Dhruva, from his heart, he said, "I came here to this forest looking for the broken pieces of glass in the form of power, wealth, fame, all sorts of sensory enjoyments that come along with that. Broken pieces of glass may look shiny, but if you play with them, you get cut. And that's the nature of all these things." So I was looking for this broken pieces of glass, but by your grace, I have received the most valuable jewel in the form of my love for you. Now I do not want anything else but to love you and to serve you." Lord Narayan told Dhruva, that I give you all of these things. In this life, you will find nothing but happiness in whatever situation you're in, because you'll always be experiencing me. The Lord said, who is in your heart. And beyond this life, you will continue experiencing the ultimate liberation of my love, praying. But you want to serve me? Go back to your kingdom. And after your father retires, he will make you the king. And you rule. You rule as a father. As a father and a mother for all your citizens. See them all as my children. When Dhruva returned, Narada went and told the king that he's coming back. He left in the most desperate human condition possible. Where nobody had any hope that he would ever return. And when he returned, the whole kingdom was waiting at the gateway with a grand festival to welcome him back. He left as a lost little child with a broken heart, and returned back a pure, enlightened, liberated soul, who in his love for Krishna, within his heart, he was seeing every living being with equal vision. When you pour water on the root of a tree, that water extends to every part of the tree. And similarly, when our propensity to love is directed toward the root of all existence, the all-beautiful, all-loving Supreme within our heart, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our love naturally extends to every living being, who are like the fruits and the flowers and the branches and the leaves of the tree. Dhruva returned home. He was so loving and forgiving to take care of his stepmother, who insulted him with such arrogance and such envy and such hate. He forgave her. And his brother, they became best friends. In fact, everyone became Dhruva's best friend, whether they knew it or not. And the king, after Dhruva left home, he resigned from all of his being king. All he did is pray and think of his little son. And when his son returned home, as soon as he got a little older, the king put him on the throne. This is the way Dhruva ruled. He had no selfishness. He had no false ego. Even the least and most insignificant of his citizens, he would give his life to help them. Such leadership is not so common in the world today. I was just with my father. He's 94 years old. He was born around Calumet City and raised in Chicago. And he was telling me a little about the political situation. I think some people are talking about politics these days. But ever since I went to India in 1970, and even before that, what is this Democrat and Republican? They may have their purposes and everything, but I never really became anything. But I was thinking as he was speaking, because he said the U.S. Congress. And when he said that, something happened to me. U.S. Congress. There's Republicans and there's Democrats, and there used to be, I think, Whigs and Independents and so many different parties. But Congresses were all together. But for a simple little person like me who left, you know, college after one semester, U.S. Congress means the Congress of us. U.S., you know, if you spell it, it's us. That means it's the Congress of us. And whatever our party, we're meant to be us, not you and not them. I and mine and you and yours. We may have different views, we may have different ideologies, but us means together we're serving for the well-being of the people. And we're all willing to make any sacrifice, even inconvenience, even poverty, even death, if we help the people. That's what a leader has always been. From a spiritual perspective, in any field. And each and every one of us is a leader, mother and father of leaders of their children. And again, that us, we have a joint responsibility for these children. It's not about me and you, it's about us for the well-being of others. This type of leadership was exemplified by Dhruva. He was such a king for many, many years. But a great person is a person who never forgets their gratitude to others. To tell the whole story will take many hours, but I'm going to fast forward to the, nowadays you don't even make that noise when they used to, seems like a higher power wants me to fast. But after Dhruva put a fit person to be the king, he went to Badrikashram, high, high in the Himalayan mountains, where he didn't take anything with him. He was an example. Because actually he was never attached to any of those things anyway. He was just sitting on the throne for the well-being of other people. Nothing was his. Everything was God's property to be used for the well-being of God's children. He was not the proprietor. He was the caretaker. The caretaker of whatever he had. Caretaker of his skills, caretaker of his of the role he was playing, caretaker of his wealth, and especially caretaker of all the people within his kingdom, of every species of life, caretaker of the environment, the trees, the air, the water. Real leadership, all of us, could have the highest level of leadership and inner satisfaction if we just understand our role as a caretaker of whatever much or little we have. Because the experience of life is not about quantity, it's about quality. Hanuman was lifting mountains, and that little squirrel was lifting pebbles. But they were both doing it in a spirit of devotion. And Lord Ram, he proclaimed that you are both completely equal in my heart. So Dhruva was way up in the Himalayan mountains among the greatest yogis in the whole world. And then an airship from the spiritual world came down. And the people on that airship, divine beings, said to Dhruva, "We are here to take you to the spiritual world, into the eternal pastimes of your beloved Lord. Please come. This is your ultimate liberation." Dhruva said, "But I'm a servant of the Lord. I don't want to just enjoy his abode. I'm here to serve, and I have my spiritual practices I still have to do." So he did them. And then he went to all the different sages and rishis. He was more spiritually enlightened than any of them. They were sitting trying to attain this liberation. And he was about to take off to attain that liberation. He could have said, "I'm going." "You didn't make it yet." He could have said that. But what did he do? He bowed down to each, even though he was more spiritually advanced than all of them, he bowed down to every one of them. Thanked them for their encouragement, for their inspiration, for their teachings. He expressed his deepest gratitude to each of them. And they were all so moved. They cried, they embraced him. And then Dhruva got in his little ship, beautiful ship, and they were about to go, and he thought something, and I'm going to end the class with this. At least that's my momentary plan. He was thinking, how could I go there without my mother? So many now, he's a really old person. Long time he lived. So many years before, when he was just a child, his mother, her prayers, her love, her simple instructions were the seed of everything great that he did in his life. How could I leave my mother? He didn't say anything, he just thought that. That was his gratitude. Such greatness. And the divine beings who were on the ship with him, they said, "Dhruva, look over there." And he looked in the sky and saw another ship with his mother on it. Krishna knew your heart. He said, he gave her liberation before you. This chanting that we have here at our beautiful temple was given by Srila Prabhupada. He came in 1965 to the West from Vrindavan, which for devotees of the Bhakti school of yoga is the holiest of all holy places in the world. He came to share this message. a message that is at the heart and the essence of all spiritual paths that are true. This book we're speaking of encapsulates that essence in a particular verse.
Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hoksha jaya hoitaki apradhyata yayatma suprasidati.
The supreme dharma, the supreme religion, spiritual path, duty, occupation. Dharma has many different translations. That supreme dharma is the awakening of the loving devotion to the supreme truth, to Krishna, who has many names, that is within our heart. And to express that love and that intent to love through seva, through service. In order to satisfy the heart, our loving service must be unmotivated by selfishness or arrogance and uninterrupted by any circumstances. In whatever situation we are, how could I love you? How could I serve you? In my life, I've seen people express that highest dharma of prem or ecstatic love as simple monks living in an ashram, as CEOs of international corporations. As people helplessly laying on their deathbed, in whatever situation we are, how could I please you, my Lord? I'm yours. It was the gift of that truth that Srila Prabhupada brought. And as Narada Muni gave Dhruva a mantra, Srila Prabhupada gave us the mantra that the Vedic literatures most recommend for this particular age that we're living in today. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This mantra purifies our heart, purifies our mind, brings it into our natural condition. Water is pure, but when it comes in contact with the earth, it becomes muddy and loses its transparency. When we filter the water, we bring it back to its natural state. Yoga, and especially this beautiful chanting of the mantra, is meant to bring our consciousness back to its natural pure state, where we are truly happy, not on the basis of circumstances, but on the basis of who and what we are, and our connection to the Supreme. To share that happiness is what all of our hearts are ultimately looking for.